and some of those are very, very damaging, I'll be honest with you. We're going to be able to get that to you and out to the public the minute that that complaint is filed. But they don't paint a very pretty picture of Sheriff Gelhaus's litany of citizen complaints and writings that took place on various chat rooms that were very, very militarized and had racial and ethnic overtones. And I think when that complaint is released, the narrative is going to shift, that there's going to be a lot of questions as to why the Sonoma County Sheriff's Department allowed such an individual to not only be on the police force, but in fact to be a senior trainer of other officers.
And according to the complaint, I understand, there's information, there's eyewitness account that Gelhaus had spent a number of, had visited the very spot where he gunned down Andy Lopez in 5 seconds and had observed others playing with airsoft guns there. Is that correct?
Well, that's exactly what I understand. We'll know for sure in a day or two. But my understanding is, yes, approximately a month before Andy Lopez was shot, Sheriff Gelhaus was observed by a witness directly observing the kids in the lot where they regularly play airsoft and paintball. I mean, if that turns out to be true, which I have no reason to believe that it won't, it's going to be incredibly damaging.
All right, well, we're going to follow that very closely. Now, there is a young people's protest, and it's one of many that we've seen since the killing of Andy Lopez. What's planned for tomorrow in Santa Rosa, and what time?
Yeah, there's a planned march. It's going to be a candlelight silent march, and the Andy's Youth, which is a group of young people and students who've been organizing since Andy was shot. They're his friends and the students from the local Santa Rosa middle and high school age. They've been out organizing. They've been out all week on the streets leafleting. In fact, they walked from Santa Rosa to Windsor, which is no short walk in this cold temperature, to pass out flyers asking for people from Windsor to come join them. That's going to take place at 4 p.m. tomorrow. The gathering will be at City Hall on Santa Rosa Avenue. The students have prepared a written letter that they want to read to the sheriff when they reach the sheriff's department. They've been working on it, wanting to express from their point of view, from a youthful point of view, how they feel this affects them, their cohorts, and the community. Now, you may remember you were here with us live last week, and the police became markedly more aggressive in their tactics, bringing out police dogs and grenade launchers if they were going to utilize tear gas. So the students, on their own accord, in their meetings, have decided to, on their part, make it very clear that this is a peaceful march. They're going to wear white, which is was Andy's favorite color, and it'll allow them to be seen clearly in the evening. They will carry candles, and as I say, it will be a silent protest. The police have tried to cast the students as violent, but in fact, if you look at what's been going on, the only violence that occurred was when the police pushed and became very aggressive, and there was an altercation that they initiated.
All right, Jonathan Milrod, I want to thank you very much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dennis.
Bye-bye now.
You're listening to a special edition of Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio as we feature our drumbeat coverage of the ongoing battle for justice for Andy Lopez. On December 16th, Dennis spoke with one of the organizers for the Justice for Andy Lopez campaign, Jonathan Milrod. Listen to this.
I think it's important that we remind people exactly what this battle is about. Remind people what happened to Andy Lopez.
Yes. On October 22nd, Andy, who is a 13-year-old young boy, was walking in a neighborhood
and an abandoned lot in his neighborhood in the Roseland area of Santa Rosa. And he was carrying a toy air gun, airsoft gun, rather, that he was taking back to a friend's house from whom he had borrowed it. A squad car of two Sonoma County sheriffs pulled up behind Andy and yelled some sort of direction to turn around. The officer, Sheriff Gelhouse, told investigators, from what the paper says, and he doesn't remember if he identified himself as a police officer or not, but according to all testimony, within 3 seconds of arriving, of yelling out to turn around, he opened fire on Andy. The first shot hit Andy in the side as he was turning toward Officer Gelhouse and pierced his heart, killing him. After that, as Andy went down, the sheriff continued to fill him full of lead. Another approximately 6 bullets entered his body. From the autopsy, we know that many of those entered at an angle that clearly establishes that Andy was in a prone position on the ground. When the officer approached Andy as he lay on the ground in his own blood, the officer handcuffed Andy before even attempting to give him CPR. And that's basically what transpired on the 22nd. That officer was put on a paid leave of absence for the next 6 weeks, during which time there was reputed to be an internal investigation by the sheriff's department to determine whether any of their administrative procedures were violated in that shooting. On Monday, they returned Officer Gelhouse to work, to a desk job, and announced that he had been cleared of any administrative wrongdoing, and that he had been questioned or had been in sessions with a psychologist. Now, you know, I've talked to a number of psychologists that said to me, anyone who jumps out of a car Rambo style and within 3 seconds empties a loaded, I would assume it's a 9mm that the police carry, into a 13-year-old boy needs a hell of a lot of psychological analysis before he's returned to work. For all we know, the psychologist asked him his name and he answered Sheriff Gelhouse, and that was sufficient, because the sheriff's office has not found it necessary to release any details of their so-called administrative investigation to the public.
So essentially, we need to take law enforcement's word that Gelhouse acted within department protocol. Of course, it could be protocol and it could also be illegal at the same time. So now we don't have a ton of time, but people have continued to protest. We reported about on several protests last week. We actually spoke to you in front of the city hall where there was a major confrontation when police refused to let peaceful protesters in. Tell us where the situation now. My understanding is people are continuing to organize actions, and they're not planning to give up.
Well, that's absolutely true. When you say we, or you posed it as a question, do we have to accept law enforcement's decision? That's exactly what we're not doing. We don't accept law enforcement's decision, and we will not rest until there's an indictment issued against Sheriff Gelhouse. Right now, just so your listeners understand, the Santa Rosa Police Department is charged with a criminal investigation to ascertain whether Sheriff Gelhouse violated any criminal procedures, not administrative, but criminal procedures in shooting Andy. Now, we're waiting on that, and we're very afraid that A, that'll be a whitewash, and B, that the sheriff's department will drag their feet in an attempt to suck the wind out of our movement. But let me say this. You know, there's been a lot of criticisms in the newspaper up here or amongst people making comments that they didn't like the language of the young people when they were confronting the police. But let me, from my point of view, we all need to take a civics lesson from these young people. These are the young kids who are exercising their First Amendment rights. Today, they were out on the street in the cold, leafleting, calling on kids to once again demonstrate this Friday in front of City Hall at 4 o'clock. We're going to be back. We're not going to be silenced. We believe that there's a concerted attempt by the police and the district attorney to trample on our First Amendment rights. They charged the demonstrator Ramon Cairo, who was arrested, with a felony and two misdemeanors. He faces up to 7 years. When we were in court this morning, the judge was very compliant. It didn't take much time to raise the bail to $45,000. What does that say to you? Ramon has a family in Santa Rosa. He has a wife in Santa Rosa. His wife is pregnant, expecting in March. He's not going anywhere. But by putting a $45,000 bond on him, there's an attempt to say, if you speak out, if you're a leader who is willing to stand up and exercise your First Amendment rights, watch out, because we could put you in jail. We could create such a financial hardship that you're intimidated, but that's not going to happen.
And it also becomes a realistic possibility, if Ramon cannot make the bail, that he ends up in a jail cell being supervised by sheriff's deputies, including a whole bunch of Gelhaus's friends. Because what we've heard from the police department is he is the go-to guy. He's the inspiration. He's the seasoned trainer. He's the one that gives the directions. And everybody's a little bit angry about how he and Gelhaus is being accused. So we could have the lead organizer for this protest calling for one of the lead protesters calling for justice for Andy Lopez in a dark jail cell with a whole bunch of deputies. And if you look at what happened in Los Angeles, it won't be the first time that deputies go in and beat the living hell out of folks they don't like.
Well, and that's certainly true. You know, it's pretty ironic that Sheriff Gelhaus, after shooting a 13-year-old, was punished with a 6-week leave of absence.
Paid.
Yet Ramon Lopez, for protesting and making his voice heard, faces 7 years. And, you know, I can tell you this. They can put as high a bond as they want, and we are determined to keep our people out of jail. We're going to protect our own. We're going to learn. We're going to avoid allowing the police to antagonize us. We're going to avoid situations where the police aggression pushes us in a direction where we may react, because we're not going to. We're not going to let ourselves be punished for exercising our First Amendment. So it's a scary thought that the sheriffs could be policing Ramon, but we're going to do our damn best to keep him out of jail.
All right. Jonathan Melrod, why don't you, if for people listening in the Bay Area, for people listening in the Santa Rosa area, talk about maybe they want to find out more information. Maybe they want to get involved. Maybe they want to join a protest. How would they go about apprising themselves of what's going on? Best way.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Dennis, because I feel like we're a bit under siege up here in Santa Rosa. You know, in our last protest, where you and I were speaking live that night, they brought out police dogs. And, you know, I grew up during the civil rights movement and remember scenes of Bull Connor's, you know, officers holding back barking police dogs at young black kids, little boys and little girls. And it flashed through my mind at night on Tuesday, my God, are we back in Bull Connor's days? Because the kids with us were 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 17. And I look over, there's police, there's 3-foot nightsticks, and there's police dangling gas masks with high-powered tear gas rifles. So, you know, we need help. We need people up here. So let me just reiterate, on this coming on this Friday at 4 o'clock, there will be another protest called by students and youth at the Santa Rosa City Hall. That's on Santa Rosa Avenue. People can go onto the internet. They can look at March for Andy Lopez, Justice for Andy Lopez. Under those headings on Facebook, there are pages where we attempt to keep people apprised of what's going on. I also would say to people, keep tuned, because the lawyers are planning to file a lawsuit, and I think there's going to be a lot that comes to light about Officer Gelhaus that's going to be extremely distasteful to most of the American public. But I won't ruin that surprise. I'll let them find out about that on their own. But keep tuned.
You're listening to a special edition of Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Mike Biggs. Up next, we play sounds from a protest for Andy Lopez that happened a couple weeks back, as the killer of this child is now back to work for the Santa Rosa Police Department.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about 56 people who have died in the hands of the police, the same people that we pay tax dollars to protect us. We would like everybody in Sonoma County to see what 56 dead people look like. So our job is not to be loud. Our job is not to try to be derogatory. Our job is to let these people know that they have been participants in the murder of 56 individuals. That is our job here today, ladies and gentlemen. So when we walk through City Hall, we do not have to say anything, for these crosses and the papers that are attached to them say everything that we would like to say to these people. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. This is Dennis Bernstein. I'm here in Santa Rosa, California, where one more march in support of justice for young Andy Lopez is beginning. And here we go, following the...